Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Just happened to be in the studio here. There's an ad for the Baldwins on came up on the TV. Are they going to be broadcasting that from prison? Is that how that works? Welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Happy you joined us tonight. Here at your local liberal resistance headquarters. We saw a lot of those this weekend. Down outside Union Station. Trust me, we'll be talking about that tonight. Where we proudly champion the conservative principles of limited government, individual liberty, free enterprise, and traditional values. All four things the people with the signs out in front of Union Station can't stand, would literally cause their heads to explode. I'm thrilled to have you with us. Our studio lines are open. We're going to take calls all throughout the show tonight. 316-869-1330. Rarely, on occasion, do I get negative feedback. Once in a while, but occasionally. But I have had some folks who've said, you don't take calls enough, so we're going to try and take calls more often. We're going to do a better job of it tonight. Phil, make me take more calls, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, make me take calls. So we're going to take more calls tonight. 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com and on X at John R. Whitmer. Would love to hear from you. We've got a great show for you tonight. An interesting guest to kick off our 8 o'clock hour, Mark Meza. He's a Donald Trump supporter who was sentenced to 5 years in federal prison for his involvement in the January 6th Capitol riots. Now, you know, you call it a riot, you call it an insurrection, you call it a peaceful protest, whatever you want to call it, he was sentenced to 5 years for his involvement. The government will, in the trial, the government said he did not assault any police officers. In fact, the government admitted he actually defended the cops. They still sentenced him to 5 years for his involvement. He was pardoned by the president. Mark will join us to kick off our 8 o'clock hour. He was pardoned by President Trump. We'll talk to him about how the whole experience affected him and his family. County Commissioner Jeff Blueball will tell us what he's doing to help curb the out-of-control property tax evaluations. My buddy Curtis Houck from Newsbusters will break down the leftist media's full-blown hysteria following the State of the Union address. And the Speaker Dan Hawkins will bring us our Under the Dome legislative update from Topeka coming up here at the bottom of this hour. And, of course, we'll be taking your calls at 316-869-1330. Speaking of last week's State of the Union address, you literally saw the stark contrast of our two-party system on full display if you watched it. If you didn't, you missed a heck of a show. While Republicans celebrated their 2024 election victory, celebrated America, celebrated American exceptionalism, and frankly, celebrated our potential and cheered for President Trump's accomplishments. On the other side of the aisle, literally the other half of the room, Democrats seethed. They were disunified, despairing, and they sat on their hands as Trump honored victims of illegal immigrant crime, an applicant to West Point, a 13-year-old boy with terminal brain cancer receiving an honorary Secret Service membership. They sat stone-faced as the president paid tribute to slain service members, to a hostage returner, guy returned back from Russia, and a murdered police officer, to a heroic Border Patrol agent and a female athlete injured by a male masquerading as a female. They literally sat on their hands to American exceptionalism and things that should unify us. The Democratic Party itself is, frankly, an irrelevant party. And that's what we saw on display. They don't have a message, and their policies have left cities in shambles. Democrats kneeled and built statues for a drugged-up felon but couldn't clap for a kid with brain cancer. Just think of that. Kid with brain cancer being made an honorary Secret Service agent. They can't clap for that. A minority kid, nonetheless. Don't forget that. But then again, they support abortions up to birth, so their track record of supporting kids is already pathetic. The Democrats have rendered themselves insignificant. But what should we expect from a party who doesn't respect the sanctity of life, believes there's more than two genders, and thinks that biological males should be playing in girls' sports? If you can't stand for Lake and Riley or a kid with brain cancer, you're beyond saving. The next generation of Democrats acted like spoiled brat Columbia University students pitching Hamas pup tents while flying transgender flags. They gathered in small little cliques with their other squad members before taking their seats and holding up their bingo cards, waiting to be turned into memes that say I farted. Eventually, most of them just left. For the most part, Americans didn't even notice. The only time congressional Democrats did stand up and applaud was when Trump reminded them how much American tax dollars have been wasted fighting a losing war in Ukraine. And this is the modern Democratic Party. Its older generation is exhausted. Its younger generation is incompetent. These are the wages of a party ideology that prizes diversity, equity, and inclusion before merit, who think that a bartender should be serving in Congress and lecturing the rest of us on how to do our jobs. Democrats with actual skill sets are now few and far between. They are more concerned about virtue signaling than they are about actual virtues, which is why this weak Democrat Party seems so uninspired. It's why they couldn't even cheer the most unifying displays of American success. And it's why, barring exceptional circumstances, they will continue to find themselves in the political wilderness. And sadly, we're seeing this here locally as well. We're seeing this exact same thing playing out on the streets of Wichita. Here locally, while Americans for Prosperity were holding a rally at Union Station on Saturday, talking with Congressman Ron Estes about concrete plans to cut taxes for all Americans, put money in everyone's pockets, and working for solutions, a crowd outside was busy calling them Nazis, fascists, and words I can't even mention over the air without risking a fine. While people were trying to leave the parking lot, they were blocking their cars. Police had to escort them out of the parking lot. While the crowd inside was polite and listening, the crowd outside was busy shouting four-letter words and insults. But if you go and try and talk to them, as my buddy Andy Hoosier and I did after the AFP event, they don't want to talk. They just want to shout and name call. Trump is Hitler. Elon is an authoritarian. You know, the typical left talking points. But when we asked about, for example, mandatory vaccine and mask mandates, they saw no issues with that. It was their guy. It was all in the name of science. No issues with those authoritarianisms, only Trump's, quote, authoritarianism. They claim trans rights are human rights, but when asked if biological males should be allowed to play in girls' sports, they say that's fair because they are girls. So much for their trust in science. Some signs read Black Lives Matter. But when asked about unborn babies, apparently those lives don't count, even the black ones. So you see, they're rife with hypocrisy. My point here, folks, is a simple one. Despite the fact that this group of purple-haired, tattooed, pierced hooligans may not be the brightest bulbs on the line, they can't just be ignored. Democrats could find themselves elevated to power at some point once again. Let's hope not. Fortunately, however, their movement is simply not durable. It relies on a coalition strategy built around dissatisfaction with America and Americanism. And that strategy is wildly uninspiring. We'll take a quick break, and then County Commissioner Jeff Blubaugh will tell us what he's doing to help curb high property tax evaluations and hopefully cut our property taxes. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. AFP believes freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. Their mission is to empower every American to achieve their unique version of the American dream. Make your voice heard today by visiting AmericansForProsperity.org to sign up. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Want to also remind you, mark your calendars for Mayor Lily Wu's State of the City address. That's coming up next Sunday. You'll still be able to catch the show. The event is from 5 to 6 p.m. next Sunday, March 16th, at the former Central Library at 223 South Main. You can come celebrate our city and the great things ahead for Wichita. There will also be a fundraiser reception for Wichita Police and Fire Foundation. That's also coming up from 3:30 to 4:30, right before the State of the City. So it's a great event. There'll be information for this on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and at the City of Wichita. That's wichita.gov. So don't forget Mayor Lily Wu's State of the City address. You know, I might actually go to one of these now that we have a mayor that I actually can palp.
Something worth going to.
Something worth going to. I'll actually hear a State of the City address that won't be filled with politicizations. Sedgwick County homeowners have begun getting their annual home valuations in the mail, and almost everyone is seeing a large increase this year. While the average across the county is 9%, I've gotten reports from some homeowners, I heard of one just yesterday, of increases as high as 35% in appraised value of their homes. I don't know what you had to do to get your house appraised at 35%, but I guarantee you it was not fair. With us now is County Commissioner Jeff Blubaugh. Jeff, thank you for joining us this evening. Nice to have you back on the show, my friend. Jeff, have we got you there?
Hey, thank you,
there
John.
We go.
Great to have me on. Thank you.
No, it's always a pleasure, my friend. I don't know if you heard. The average is 9. Yeah, I hear you. I got you good.
Okay. Thanks.
The average is 9, and last year the average is 10. So if you think about it, that's county residents over the last 2 years. That's essentially a 20% increase. But I've heard some of these reports as high as 35. I mean, that's just, this was a big issue for you. So I know this is going to be something that you've got to be as upset as everybody else is about this kind of nonsense. Are you with us, Jeff?
Yeah, John, you know, I was 9 this year. I was 11 last year.
Yeah.
Commissioner Howell went and looked at all the commissioner values. And I won that little competition. I'm 74% in 4 years on my house.
Oh, so, see, Jeff, have you done anything to your house in those 4 years other than mow the lawn?
No.
See, that's the point. So
improvements, no anything.
So that's my point, because mine went up 18% over the last 2 years, and I've literally done nothing but mow the lawn. So I don't understand, how do we fix this, my friend? What do we do to fix this process? Because it's obscene.
So, you know, just as I campaigned, and I still am moving forward with what I campaigned on, it's all in the process, the assessment process, the appeal process. you know, I asked specifically when County Appraiser Mark Clark came and presented to the county, do you have the option for an in-person? Do you have an option for a call-in? Well, whenever you look at the back side of your assessment sheet, it only gives you the option to call in. I circled back with the county manager and the assessor's office, and they had changed that during COVID. They have not changed it back. But please let everybody know, and we're going to be doing a little bit of a communications campaign to let everybody know you can have those in-person appeals. And the appeal and going through that valuation process, is I think it is key to trying to get us set straight again.
Yeah, we've got to do something. And well, I know that the county
weekly we get notified.
No, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead, Jeff. We're obviously having some delays, Jeff.
That assessment process, we've got to ensure that we.
There we go. Sounds like we're better now. Can you hear me a little better now?
Yeah. Is that better now, John?
Yes, that's better. You know, the thing that I'm hearing, and I know that Sedgwick County government is only about 20 to 25% of your property tax bill. Obviously, you've got the state, the city, whatever city you happen to live in, and of course your school district, but it's still a significant portion and it just keeps going up. There's got to be something that you guys can do about it.
So that's why my focus is going to continue to be on the assessment process, the valuation process, because the county only makes up 20-25% of that bill. You know, there's 30-40 different taxing entities
right.
that you might have on between your schools, the city, your cemetery. There's so many other. So I think I'm definitely going to do my best to you know, be as diligent as I can to be conservative with our budget and making sure we're not spending any money at the county, but we're not going to control the other 75% of your tax bill.
Yeah, and that is a fair point. And I know I've talked to the state legislature. That's their thing, too. I mean, they're what, 20%. So they even if you cut everything and the state cut everything, that's still less than 50% of your property tax bill. The large culprit here is the school districts. Let's just be honest. That's your biggest culprit. That being said, one of the things, and I know I've talked to you and I've talked to Commissioner Howell and Commissioner Beatty, I know all of you and you know are concerned about trying to do something with R&R, trying to make sure that revenue neutral rate, we may not be able to get 100%, but to try and make sure that we're not exceeding it as much as we did in the past, trying to come down as best as we can, correct?
Yeah. So some of the discussions we're having with the county is what, you know, control the controllables. What we can control is our spending. And we're looking at trying to get to a point where we're not exceeding CPI, the consumer price index.
Right.
And I think that's very fair if we can do that. You know, CPI has not been 9% and 11% and these values that we've seen from the Sedgwick County appraiser.
Exactly. If the CPI is 3% or 4%, I think people would be willing to say, okay, I get that. Inflation, your cost of doing business, I get that. It's when R&R is coming in at 9 and you're taking 8.7 and people say, well, wait a minute, you just put $10 million into a barn for elephants at the zoo. That wasn't necessary essential spending and you raised my property taxes to do it. And I think I'm so glad we finally got you and Stephanie and Ryan and Jim pulling in the same direction that we may be able to see prioritization is probably the best way to put it.
Yeah. And my colleagues, we're all trying to tackle this. You know, some of us are going a little different directions, but we got a lot of good synergy and we're working toward it. And again, we're going to focus on trying to keep our spending at more of a CPI level. But we got to get back to getting these evaluations accurate, because when you talk about some of the bills that they've been looking at in Topeka, well, we don't want to exceed, you know, certain cap at 3% or 4%. Well, there's so many outliers. When you look at the Sedgwick County appraiser, there's some of them. We looked at some examples where someone had sold their house for $150,000 less than what the valuation was. Now, there's got to be some kind of accountability for that, because you've obviously been overtaxing that person whenever they couldn't even sell their property for that. So if we look at setting and, okay, we're not going to increase anybody over 3%. Well, we do know there's some people that are way undervalued.
Right.
And it's just, we talk about picking winners and losers. I mean, I don't want to be in that game. I want a more consistent and fair valuation process. And Commissioner Wise, just like me, we're real estate brokers, and we're having appraisers and other real estate professionals reach out to us, and they know that we know that they can't sell their properties for that, and they're going to hold us to a little higher standard because we do know values.
Well, and I think the other thing is equitable here. I mean, it isn't necessarily fair either to, if you do that and then the guy that buys the house is paying a 20-30% increase in his property taxes, you're never going to sell homes if you get to that kind of rate. That's what happened in California when they passed Proposition 13, if I'm correct.
Yep. I made some comments at the end of our commission meeting this week because I do believe we are creating an assessment bubble. And that paralleled with the insurance bubble that we already have, you're looking at folks that are spending more for their escrow fees than they are their principal and interest. You know, your payment may be $1,800. Well, $1,000 of that may be your insurance and your property taxes, and more of that's going into actually paying down your home. And it's making a lot of people feel like they never really own their property. Everybody, I've had so many people come to me and say, we just all feel like renters, that we're renting from the government.
Yeah. How sad is that, too? Especially then if you're a retiree or you're someone on a fixed income and this keeps going up, and then they're looking at, gosh, I could lose my home and it's my primary asset. That's the sad part. Jeff,
sorry, go ahead. I just got to throw it. Affordable housing is such a big issue to us, and this is not going to fix the problem.
No, you're absolutely right. If folks want to keep in touch with you, if they want to try and get updates on where the commission is and the direction that they're going, what's the best way for them to do that?
You know, they can send me an email at jeff.blueball@sedgwick.gov or give me a call. My cell phone number, 316-640-0656. Folks, do not hold back from calling me or communicating with me, because I'm in the same situation as a lot of you, and I want to work together so that we can have an good valuation program that we can cover our budget and make sure that we're trying to put some kind of controls on affordable housing in Wichita.
Well, brother, I appreciate you, my friend. I know my next guest, Speaker Hawkins, the House has been working, and Senate for that matter, have both been working on a property tax solution. Hopefully between the three of you, we can find something. Appreciate you as always, my friend. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, John.
We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll bring you our weekly Under the Dome update from Topeka with House Speaker Dan Hawkins. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Well, that's our Laura Kelly theme song. That means this is our Under the Dome weekly legislative update from Topeka. By the way, credit where credit's due. Representative Leo Delperdang just texted me In that last segment, I mentioned that the state was responsible for 15% of property taxes. I missed a decimal point. It's 1.3%. When I said it, I thought to myself, wait a minute, that seems way too high. State's not responsible for that much. School districts, on the other hand, there you go. That's where your problem children are.
Thank you, Leo.
Yeah, thank you, Leo. Leo is always good. First off, he's a great listener and a great legislator. Second off, he's always good for keeping me on my toes. Him and my wife keep me on the straight and narrow. So welcome back to the John Whitmer Show. And don't forget, if you miss a part of the show, we post clips from all our shows, single hours, entire segments, whatnot. You can just download the Always Live free Odyssey app just to get started. And, of course, while you're online, just like and follow the John Whitmer Show and find me on X at John R. Whitmer. Well, again, when with the legislature's in session, we like to bring you an update from Topeka. With us now is House Speaker Dan Hawkins. Mr. Speaker, thank you for joining us. It is always a pleasure and a privilege to have you with us. As always, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, John. It's nice to see the bumper music there, the Laura Kelly theme song. I like that.
Hopefully.
Then the other thing I would say is Leo Delperdang is always going to keep you straight.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And hopefully, hopefully we will have different music in a year and a half when we have a different governor. So let's, you know, I won't mind picking better music for a Republican governor. So Dan, on Friday, the House passed what you called a 1-2 punch to property taxes. This is ironic that we're having this right after the conversation with Jeff Blueball. It's almost like I planned my show. Can you explain what you meant by calling it a 1-2 punch to property taxes?
Well, so the one punch, the first punch, of course, is the local units of government, the state working together to keep their budgets low, because budgets are really, you know, there's this big misnomer out there that having a 3% cap on appraisals is going to do something. It's actually not going to do anything. What you've got to do is you've got to keep the budgets low. And yep. So the state's going to give, you know, the counties and the cities an incentive to keep their budgets in check underneath the, you know, the inflation figure. And if they do that, they're going to get an incentive. They're going to get money from the state. If they don't, they're going to get a protest petition by the people.
Oh, I love this idea. I love this idea. Yeah,
it's actually a great idea. It's you know, we got a great tax chair. Adam Smith from West King, Kansas, out there on the Colorado border, is probably one of the best legislators that I've ever seen chair the tax committee. He's a smart guy. He works hard. That guy's there until midnight, 1 o'clock every morning in the state house, working in his office. So he's actually the architect of this, and truly, I think it's exactly what we need. And then the second punch is a constitutional amendment to average those your appraised value over a 6-year period. And I say six, it could be seven, it could be five, but over a long period of time, so you take away those large jumps in appraisals, and it certainly will also, it'll just average out over that period of time. So that is the 1-2 punch, and quite frankly, we believe it's going to work well. It passed the House with massive margins. I think one got 115 votes and the other one got 117 out of 125 people. That's a huge margin. So now we'll have to see what the Senate thinks of it and see what they do with it. So that's just part of the process.
But with those margins, that's Democrats voting for those as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, that's a good sign. And what do you think? Now those will go over to the Senate. I know they've got their version that just is a hard cap. Yours seems a little more flexible. It allows local governments to play more of a role. The cap is a hard cap. Local municipalities have no sway there. I kind of like yours because it does give a little more flexibility to those local municipalities.
It does, and quite frankly, the municipalities and the counties, the one thing I've learned this year is what drives our taxes, our property taxes, is the budget. So if you keep your budget in check, then your property taxes should come down a little bit. And in fact, I think the figure that Adam gave during debate was over a 10-year period, there would be $600 and some million, $670 million, I think, in property tax relief. Well, that's significant. It really is.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Some of the other things I saw that came out of the House this week, and I'm thrilled to see this, you both chambers have passed an end to the three-day grace period on mail-in ballots. I've never understood, you know, the state of Florida can do this in one day, never understood why we have to wait 3 days for mail-in ballots. If you know you're mailing it in, you just make sure you get it so that it arrives by, in this case, it would be 7 o'clock, close of polls on Election Day. You've got enough votes to get it through both chambers. It'll go to Laura Kelly. It's our, once she gets it, she's likely to veto it, I'm sure.
I'm sure she'll veto it.
Do you think you've got the votes to override?
I think we will. That's one that I think we can override. Actually, I think we can override a lot of things. So I think this governor is going to find out. You know, she spent $2.1 million trying to beat us, and all she got was a couple of Democrats beaten, and that's it. That's all she got. She didn't get any of us. In fact, we increased our margins, and that's become difficult for her because she knows that I've got 85 votes on pretty, not everything, but a lot of things. I can get 85 votes to override people on. I got a couple. I got one that almost never votes with us. And then, you know, certain issues, you may have one or two peel off. But I think we can pretty much override most of those things that she's going to veto this year.
Yeah, I occasionally I'll get an email about why we don't do the White Rhino Award on the John Whitmer show anymore. And I just tell them, well, because Mark Schreiber would win it every year. So, you know, there's no point in doing a White Rhino when we all know who'd win it. So I just should, if I do it, I'll just get it and mail it to Mark every year. So I noticed you you formed a House Committee on Government Oversight this week. I'm assuming, if I read the press release, if I'm reading the tea leaves right, is this looks like basically a Kansas House version of DOGE. Is that correct?
Well, probably not. It's because DOGE is about going out and finding waste. In the Senate has that. It's called the COGE.
Right.
COGE. So they have that. This is more about looking at problems out in government and the various agencies and bringing light to it, bringing transparency to the situation, basically pulling back the curtain and showing people exactly what's going on out here. So I've already received a couple of requests for things that for that committee to do. It's a select committee. So a select committee is an investigating committee. That's what it is. So it really is not the same as DOGE.
No, it isn't. Okay.
But we've got, and they have by the fact that it's a select committee, a select investigating committee, it has subpoena power. So, you know, whenever we need that committee to spring into action, they can investigate the problems out there in government, bring light to it, and hopefully make recommendations to make changes. Now, you have to know the governor is not going to like that.
Nope.
You know, she certainly is going to protect everything she can protect, but this is not something she can veto, so it doesn't really matter, does it?
No, we're talking with House Speaker Dan Hawkins. Speaking of the governor, I'm sure you saw that she was bragging again this month about how the state has been collecting too much, frankly, of our tax dollars again. You know, it's I always find that sadly out of touch when she gets to going about how great it is that we've collected so much money and what a wonderful job we're doing. And I sit here thinking, you know, you're proud of how much money you're taking from your citizens. It really does showcase how out of touch she is.
Well, you know, the governor crows about everything. I mean, she takes anything that we do good, she's going to take credit for it. You know, anything bad out there, she's going to run away from. So, you know, I got to tell you, I just really don't pay that much attention to the governor because she's pretty predictable. She does what she does.
That's true.
You know, that 100, I think we were, I think in excess of 120 million, I think it was, over projection. But that's just 1 month. And, you know, when you go and crow about something like that and start, you know, start making a big deal about it, and then the next month comes back and it's a negative, what are you crowed about? You know, those things happen. You'll have months where you'll have a whole bunch of stuff come in, and you really never know why it happens that way. But it does. But it, 1 month does not make a trend. And quite frankly, we're really watching this budget closely. The Senate's working on it right now. We've got to be careful with our money because, quite frankly, in 2 short years, we're out of money.
Yeah, yeah.
And so our budget committees have been, you know, I have just harped and absolutely harped and harped and harped about, you know, watching our spending. You know, we've never had a tax problem. We've had a spending problem.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. We always have. Yes.
And I and the Senate president have really brought light to it this year. The House has done a great job. The Senate's working on it right now. They're doing a good job. We're going to be going to conference, hopefully, in another week, week and a half, and get a budget out to the governor and see what she does. I don't know what she's going to do. She'll probably have a ton of line item vetoes, I'm sure, and we'll probably try to override every one of them she does. So
I know I've got to let you run. A quick thing I wanted to ask you about, you may not know much about it, is the Kansas Senate this week passed Senate Bill 256. It's called the Back to Work Act, basically saying, look, all these folks that have been either working from home or doing remote work, and it's a significant number, upwards of basically 30% of state workers, 5,500 people who work remotely under this telework agreement, have been working from home ever since COVID. This bill basically says, get back to work. I'm curious what you think of this.
Well, I think it's probably a sound bill. I do think you have to be careful because there are some folks out there that do work remotely because that's the way their job is. So I haven't seen the bill, so I don't know how it's crafted. I hope they've thought about those little instances where those people don't work in an office and that we've made, you know, allowances for those. But quite frankly, why is anybody that's supposed to be in office not in an office right now?
Right. And why are we paying rent on an office that they're not using?
Right. Right. So if they're supposed to be working in an office, they need to get back in here and get to work in an office. Of course, they'll tell you, oh, these people are going to quit. Well, not if they want a job.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, even private enterprise right now is bringing people back. I mean, it's just, you know, COVID's been over for a long time, and that's the reason why they let them go home and stay home. Now it's time to get back to work.
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more, brother. If folks want to connect with you, I highly recommend, I've been telling people this for years, they need to sign up for your newsletter, which is the Majority Record. What's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, go to Dan Hawkins, Kansas, and Kansas is spelled out K-A-N-S-A-S. So it's danhawkinskansas.com. And at the bottom of the landing page is a place where they can sign up for the newsletter.
Brother, I appreciate you as always. Don't suppose you're going to add your name to the list of people running for governor, are you? There's already, what, a dozen of them or so. We're going to add Hawkins for Kansas on there?
I can tell you for a fact, Dan Hawkins is not running for governor.
Okay, well, I figure, you know, there's already 12. Why not make it 13?
Yeah, well, you know how that goes, John. It'll get trimmed down by filing deadlines. So.
Yes, it will. All right, my friend. Hey, I'm going to be broadcasting from Topeka, not next Sunday, but the following Sunday. We'll have to maybe set something up. That'll be the 23rd. We'll have to try and have you on the show when we're there.
Well, you know where I reside up here, so I'm sure you can find me.
I'm sure I can. All right, brother. Have a good week. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care, John.
We'll take a quick break, and then we'll take a few calls. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. And then coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Mark Mazza, who was a Donald Trump supporter, sentenced to 5 years in federal prison for his involvement in the January 6th Capitol riots. This story is compelling. I guarantee you'll be interested in hearing it. In the meantime, studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity Kansas. They believe freedom and opportunity are the keys to unleashing prosperity for all. Their mission is to empower every American to achieve their own unique version of the American dream. If you want to work with an organization, get involved in your local grassroots efforts, it's a great way to get involved. You can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to follow and like the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Speaking of the show, sponsorships are still available for the John Whitmer Show. They're available now. For more information, you can email Tony at knssradio.com. Couple of events coming up. Not this week, but next week on the 20th, on Thursday, is the monthly meeting of the Sedgwick County Republican Party. Their guest will be, it's at 6:30 for the doors, 7 o'clock for the meeting at the Wichita Area Builders Association. The speaker is Kansas Attorney General Chris Kobach. That's coming up on the 20th. And then don't forget, next Sunday from 5 to 6, March 16th, at the former Central Library at 223 South Main, is Mayor Lily Wu's State of the City address. State of the State, you know, it'd be a governor's address. She'd be an upgrade. there's a thought. Of course, we don't need. There's already 12 in. Why not add another? And there's a fundraising reception for Wichita Police and Fire Foundation. That's from 3:30 to 4:30. And then the State of the City is from 5 to 6. So that's coming up next Sunday. And then, of course, the show from 7 to 9. So you can go to that and then tune in your radio and listen to the John Whitmer Show. So
the best of all worlds.
It is. Now, let me tell you about another event you do not want to attend. No, I'm dead serious. You do not want to attend this. This is an event that's going to literally piss you off. And I know that's a bad word, but this will make you mad. So a Satanist group is holding a rally at our state capitol in Topeka, the People's House, on March 28th. A number of our state representatives and senators have reached out to me, to reach out to you, to ask you to join them basically in prayer. This is a group of Catholic students have actually formed a petition with more than 22,000 signatures asking Governor Kelly to cancel this event. This event is being called the Black Mass. It is being put on by Satanists. I'm fairly certain Governor Kelly will ignore this request. Frankly, it's not just an offense against God, but it's an attack on, you know, a very character of our state. But yeah, there's a Black Mass being scheduled for a Satan worship at our state capitol on March 28th.
I have no words. I'm shaking my head. That's all I got.
And to give you perspective, Laura Kelly didn't even want to do the March for Life. She tried everything she could to prevent the March for Life, but she has no problem with a Black Mass for Satan. Go figure, folks. That's Laura Kelly for you.
That's our governor.
Not my governor. We'll take a quick break, and then Mark Mazza, a Donald Trump supporter who was sentenced to 5 years in federal prison on the January 6th riots, will be with us. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. You can always listen to us by telling your smart speaker to play KNSS Radio. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. And, of course, give us a call. Our studio lines are open 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Well, as of January 20th, 1,575 people were charged in connection with the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. The FBI has estimated that around 2,000 people took part in what they define as criminal acts at the event. Upon Donald Trump's inauguration on January 20th, he pardoned all but 14 of about 1,270 convicted individuals. One of those convicted on charges related to January 6th is Mark Andrew Mazza, 57, of Shelbyville, Indiana. Mark was sentenced to 60 months in prison for carrying two loaded guns on Capitol grounds And this was a conviction, mind you. This is not necessarily what he did, but what he was accused of, and assaulting law enforcement officers during the breach of the U.S. Capitol. What is interesting, though, is even in the court proceedings, the state admitted that he didn't actually assault law enforcement officers. So even in the proceedings, it's very interesting. As you read this story, I don't know how you convict somebody of something that even the state will admit that he didn't do. But we'll ask Mark about that. Mark, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, my friend.
John, it's my pleasure. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Well, thank you. I appreciate both. You need to call more often. So,
yes, sir.
Let me start with this. Tell us. We'll address the case, but let me just tell us about what happened on that day. Tell us about, you've described it as being caught up in the mob. Tell us about the whole story. Tell us about your tale of January 6th. Let's start there.
Okay. Well, I was there with a friend of mine, and we went to the rally, and people were running towards the rally saying, "We've breached the Capitol, and everybody needs to go to the Capitol." Well, we were going to go to the Stop the Steal rally originally anyway. And so we could have walked straight down Constitution Avenue and gotten there in 15 minutes. But we decided to take the long way because all the roads were blocked. So we took selfies and we went around taking pictures of stuff. It took us an hour to get there. So we were really in a rush to take over that Capitol. And so when we finally arrived, there were no barricades. We walked up the steps. The crowd of maybe 20,000 people was singing God Bless America. It was a beautiful sight. It was completely peaceful. There was absolutely nothing going on that we could tell. And so we actually went up on top of the where the inauguration stage was. And we were looking down on the crowd and taking pictures and just, you know, enjoying the time, even though it was freezing cold. But we, after about 15 minutes up there, I looked to my left and there was 30 to 40 stormtroopers coming at us. I don't know if they were FBI or if they were DC police, who they were, but they were shoving everybody off of that where we were at. And so we just went ahead and just got out of their way and got down, went back down to the platform. Well, by the time we got to the platform, when they started shooting the flash grenades, and then they started bombarding everybody with tear gas and C2 gas, mace. I mean, it was raining down on everyone. And so we kind of took shelter under the huge American flag that was there and to keep from all the tear gas and everything raining down on us. Well, they continued shooting flash grenades into the crowd. By then, there were CIs, which were FBI people, in the crowd that stoked it all up to begin with. Ray Epps was the main one, which the FBI denied ever knowing him, even though the next day his picture was still on the FBI's website.
Huh.
But they denied him, and of course, by the next day, it was already down. So we noticed, I mean, it was getting, starting, people were panicking because police were starting to attack. And when I say attack, they were coming at them with their batons and basically fire extinguisher size bear spray. And this stuff will shoot 30 to 40 feet in a real steady stream. And they were shooting people, including myself, point blank almost. I mean, 3-4 feet away. And it was just incredible of what we were seeing. And I saw a guy, actually, I had it on my camera on my phone, but they've confiscated that, so I'm sure it's no longer there, an Antifa, and we know he's Antifa because he went in the full gear, helmet and the vest and all that stuff, and he had weapons. They weren't guns, but they were sticks, and most of them carried 2x4s. And he was busting out the window to the left of the tunnel on the west side of the building. And Patriots kept pulling them down, telling, you know, "We're not here for this." Well, he eventually busted that window from the outside. It's a bulletproof glass, it's a 2-piece glass. He busted it, and I'm videoing this. And on the inside were three D.C. cops in full riot gear pulling the glass from the inside, breaking the inside out so they could climb in. Now, after they got the glass out, the guy climbed in, and the cops start handing furniture out, which I thought was incredible. Why are they handing out furniture? But they wanted to make it look like destruction and that we were stealing. We went there for, you know, all this violence. Huh. So I worked my way into the tunnel. The tunnel was where the melee was. And I got in there, and it was crowded. I worked my way to the front. At one point, and I'm on video doing this by body cam, and their body cam, and I faced a wall of 8 to 10 officers, all in riot gear with shields and everything else. And I stopped all the melee, and I said, listen, you know, I used some explicit language, but I said, this is the people's house. We have every right by the Constitution to come in here and observe these proceedings from the upper chamber area where the visitors sit. I said, we're allowed to do that to make sure that there is no fraud committed here and that it's a just hearing because the election was stolen. Well, as you know, there were congressmen on the floor filing for an appeal on the certification.
Yes, there were.
Well, they were shut down immediately.
You brought up that the not assaulting, because that's an interesting part of it, because, you know, when I was reading about your particular case, that was one of the things that stood out to me, because, for example, federal possession of firearms or carrying, right, the mandatory, right, minimum sentence is 5 years. You got 7.5 in your is what the judge laid down on you. And yet, you were the government in the case, in the actual filings, the government said, quote, you did not assault the officers, and video appears to show him, referring to you, trying, right, to protect both officers from other rioters who were assaulting them. So,
yes,
in,
sir,
their own filing, they're admitting that you did not assault the police and you were trying to protect the police. What was then their justification, or what was the judge's justification for such a heavy sentence when the minimum was 5 and you got 7.5? Did they ever explain that sentence?
He actually gave me 60 months, 5 months, 5 years is what he actually sentenced me to. He gave me 60 months for assaulting the officer, which I have the paperwork and the picture of the guy. The officer took a 9-photo lineup and identified a man that was 37 years old with black hair and a black beard. I was 57 at the time. I'm 60 now. I have a snow white beard and gray hair, and I was wearing a hat. The file, also the police officer they said I assaulted, he said under oath, Mark Mazza did not assault me. Now, my lawyer, who was pretty much appointed to me, he called me, said he wanted to represent me. He was a Trump supporter, which he wasn't any of that. He was getting paid by the D.C. court system. We got into court. He never objected to anything. We had this discovery that the prosecutor found a week before my plea deal. They swept it under the rug. The guns, he wanted to try to get me 10 years. The judge gave me 5. But before he sentenced me, before he hit that gavel, in my allocution, I said, I am not an insurrectionist. I am a patriot of the United States sworn to defend the Constitution of the United States whenever I swore in the United States Army. And he said, by every definition of the word, you, sir, are an insurrectionist.
Mark, let me reintroduce here real quick. We're talking with Mark Mazza, who was convicted as part of the January 6th events at the Capitol. You know, the Democrats and the media and the left have tried very hard to say that Donald Trump incited the crowd. He caused the riot, effectively instigating it. You served time for this. You went to prison for this. You were ultimately pardoned. Do you blame Donald Trump? Do you believe that he was the instigator? Do you think that Donald Trump is the reason that the folks who engaged in the activities of January 6th did what they did? Was Trump the reason, or was it just, were they inspired because they were frustrated and mad about the election?
It was absolutely not Donald Trump's fault. He said peacefully go and protest.
That's what I saw.
What he was doing.
That's what I sure saw.
And that's what was happening when I got there. It was us getting attacked by FBI. They had over 200 undercover CIs in the crowd to stoke people up. So Nancy Pelosi did this. She set this whole thing up with her Gestapo, with the D.C. police. And the fake news has run with it and now is starting to expose everything that they've been denying, calling us. They're projecting. They're the insurrectionists. They've committed treason. We went there literally to protest a rigged election. Everybody who watched the election in that November saw at 2 o'clock in the morning the count go from President Trump sweeping that race to Joe Biden, and it took a straight up turn, taking all the votes from Trump, and all of a sudden he's got, what, 79 million votes?
Yeah.
We've never had, if you take that and add it with the votes Trump got, it's like 158 million votes.
Oh, yeah.
We've never had 158 million people vote.
Well, look at the results of the last election. There's 10 million fewer votes for Kamala than Joe had. Where'd those 10 million people go?
How has
this whole experience affected you and your family, Mark? I mean, have you finally been able to have some grace, the opportunity to move on from all of this? Or how has this affected you now that you're out, now that you've been pardoned and you're back? I mean, are you at least able to move on from it?
No, not really. My family has abandoned me. Everybody. I have one brother that supported me, and he put me up for 2 weeks. I am on the road. I'm homeless. I have a truck and one suitcase of clothes. My money was embezzled from me out of my bank account. Luckily, the bank reinstated, I'm not going to say how much, but a small portion of what was taken. So I'm fortunate because I have some money in the bank and a truck. But getting a license, luckily, when I got released on that pardon on January 20th, I got the release paper. Well, nine of us got released from Milan, Michigan at the same time. Half of those guys did not get that piece of paper. And a lot of other J6ers have not received that piece of paper. You cannot get a driver's license, a cell phone, insurance, anything without that piece of paper, because a pardon just says you've been pardoned. You don't have anything that says you've been released from prison. And they have to have that. And so there are guys out there right now, like I'm unemployed. I'm actually retired, and I'm not looking for work, but I'm on the road constantly because supporters are putting me up, patriots. And the fact is, our lives are ruined. I use the example. Do you know who Benedict Arnold is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, Mark Mazza is now Benedict Arnold to the United States public. And my family's name is ruined. My kid's name is ruined. My kids were in high school. They had to face teachers, principal, friends, parents that saw every day for 2 weeks on the local news my picture and saying I am a treasonous insurrectionist.
And you know, the
you
whole
can't
thing
come back from that.
The whole thing that frustrates me in this whole thing, and whether or not you know, I've got a listener out there who thinks that you're an insurrectionist, or a listener who thinks you're a patriot. One of the things that frustrates me in this whole discussion is we have people who burned and looted cities in the summer of 2020, who burned cop cars. There are hundreds of police officers who were assaulted. There are people who died. There's millions of dollars in damage, and no one has been held accountable for any of that. And the double standard in these two situations, regardless of what you think about January 6th, the blatant double standard is one of the things that has frustrated me. So, and, you know, at this point, okay, January 6th happened, it's over, it's done with. We should be a nation that forgives. I mean, if we can forgive Bill Clinton having whatever he had in the Oval Office, And we should be able to do the same for people who you shouldn't be judged by your worst moments. Regardless of what happened to January 6th, it's one day, and you're being judged for your worst day. That's the tragedy in this whole thing. And there are people, like I said, back in the riots of 2020 who've never been judged. And that's right. The sad part here. Mark, I'm up on my break, but I want to wish you grace. I hope that you do have the opportunity to find some peace and can reconnect with your family at some point. And I do appreciate you coming on, my friend. And, I'd give you, if there's a way for folks to connect with you, if you want to share that, if not, I just hope that folks will pray for you.
I appreciate that.
Brother, I appreciate you and I wish you all the best, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll take a quick break, and then I'd like to hear what you think. Was January 6th an insurrection or a peaceful protest? Should folks like Mark have received their full pardons? What does say you? You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I tell you, that was a fascinating conversation, wasn't it, Phil?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. And what's interesting, and I know we've got calls I want to get to them, but no matter how you view that, it's I do hate the double standard, the way that whole situation is. And the left, of course, one's a peaceful protest, one's an insurrection.
Mm-hmm.
The
previous administration, when they were in control, then that was the narrative that we were hearing.
And no mention of the riot and the people who died on January 6th. Well, actually, nobody. Well, only one person actually died, and it was a protester.
Yes.
No officers died. Now there were a few that were complications. A guy had a heart attack. A few suicides. Those are not related to – that was suicide. You chose to take your life for whatever tragic reason. As opposed to cops that were actually killed during the riots in Philadelphia, in Seattle, in the occupations of Portland, all that nonsense. Mm. But, that's facts, and, the left doesn't like facts. So what can I say? Pat, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for sticking around. It's always, always a pleasure to have – Pat's a regular listener, so it's always nice we have Pat on.
Country, I'm grateful for the protester and Congressman Higgins, Clay Higgins, a former policeman.
Oh yeah,
out in front of the vans. He said, "Let me show you the two vans that showed up." And he said, "I was deeply concerned that some of my fellow policemen were part of the instigators out there. That I have it on very good report that there were FBI instigators in the crowd bringing in the protest, and then they faded back. And that's called entrapment to the hilt." And interesting enough,
he's a congressman from Louisiana, isn't he, Pat?
Yes, sir.
That's
former
what I
policeman
thought.
Too. And he said it deeply concerned me that some of my fellow policemen were there dressed up as Trump supporters, and they were instigators. But also you have to know who that FBI person was that was leading in there, and he had just run the Governor Whitmer case where
Whitmer, by the way. Different Whitmer. No relation.
The governor of Michigan. And the entrapment of just three simple marijuana smokers. 15 FBI were in the basement, and that's the same FBI person that ran the January 6th.
Yep.
And I'm grateful for this guest that you had on. Grateful country to you.
Pat, I appreciate you, brother, as always. We'll take a quick break and pay a few bills, and then a dear friend, guy we love having on the show, literally the best media analyst out there, my buddy Curtis Houck, from Newsbusters will be with us to break down the State of the Union and the media's mind-blowing, hair-on-fire response. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by downloading the Odyssey app or telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS Radio. And, of course, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer. By the way, Phil, don't let me forget. I know he can hear me. But don't let me forget to tell Curtis that he needs to like boost me. He's got like 100,000 followers on X, and I'm still struggling at 7,000. I need him to boost me and get me some followers. The guy's a freaking mega, you know, celebrity on X, and I'm this little piddling guy that I've known him for almost going on 8 years, something like that, and he's never done me a solid on social media.
Okay.
He needs to boost me. Okay?
Curtis, are you hearing this?
He's hearing it. He's hearing it. Trust me. I'm keeping him muted so that he doesn't give me, you know, garbage on the air. But I'm gonna start hitting him up and make him earn these. You know, make him actually earn it. Studio lines are open 316-869-1330. So, yeah, he's going to give me such a hard time for that. At the recent State of the Union address, why am I doing this? Because you know the minute we turn his mic on, he's just going to just hit me. At the recent State of the Union address, viewers saw for themselves the true face of the modern Democrat Party. Can I just make this intro go on really long? As they turn their back on a grieving mother, on a kid with cancer. I mean, we know. We saw it. They were trash. So the mainstream media, of course, showed their true colors as well. MSNBC host Nicole Wallace said she hoped the 13-year-old cancer patient DJ Daniel didn't, quote, kill himself from having to deal with Trump supporters. That was MSNBC. With us now to once again expose the bias that is rampant within the lamestream media, and of course give me a hard time, is Curtis Houck with Newsbusters. Brother, okay, give it to me.
Well, I was just sitting here and I found three things to retweet of yours while I'm sitting here. You gave me such time to draw it out. You actually did me a solid to try and like find a few things to repost there. You know?
I love you. Thank you. I mean, I've been meaning to hit him up and say, hey, I'm trying to get to 10,000 so I can be at least like a tenth as good as you are on social media. So
I haven't even tweeted about cracking the 100,000 mark. I mean, you're the first person to even say anything about that because I'm just like, I don't really care. I don't really normally like talking about myself very much. So I kind of, you just like let it go.
You're a rock star. I can say I knew him when. So, you know.
And I don't buy followers like a lot of people do. And I don't like charge people money for retweets or anything stupid like that. Because, sorry, folks, unfortunately, there's a lot of folks out there on the left and right that do this. But no, the State of the Union, nice. But I mean, yeah, what was the State of the Union? I mean, it's so confusing for the first year of a president. Like,
yeah.
You have to say it's a joint address to the Congress. Like, it's so stupid. But no, I mean, Nicole Wallace, the key in there, like, if you haven't seen it yet, folks, unless you were, like, in a coma the last week, like, that clip, the best part, the thing that is really under-mentioned here, undercooked, is the reaction, like, right before she kind of hits the main climax, it goes to, like, Michael Steele and Jen Psaki, and they're just kind of like, Michael Steele's looking down kind of like, and Jen Psaki kind of has that Karen look on her face. Like, where are you going with this?
Yes.
Yeah. You know?
I think like, they were honestly shocked that she said that when she said DJ Daniel doesn't kill himself from, I mean, and yet they get away with this nonsense. And yeah. I'm shocked. I mean, at least MSNBC finally fired Joy Reid. But I'm shocked they continue to let these people get away with this nonsense.
Well, and the thing is, Sean, this is a very cynical play that they did to get rid of Joy Reid. The reason that they finally were able to jettison Joy Reid is because MSNBC is looking at being a Comcast-less institution. This network doesn't have, you know, the cable and internet monopoly to, like, hold itself up, you know. Nobody's buying cable, but yes, people are still buying internet. And phone and all that stuff from Xfinity in, you know, corner after corner of the country. So they don't have that to hold themselves up. And it's a bunch of dying cable channels. You know, what's funny is in that deal, NBC kept Bravo because of all the below deck, like train wreck TV shows and the Real Housewives, because I guess that makes them money.
Hey, but all the other ones, careful there. My wife and I watch that below deck stuff. That's actually amusing television.
It makes money. Yeah. And Comcast is holding on to that channel because it makes money, but they're selling off all the other ones, including CNBC. And so there was a calculus made that, like, man, we're going to have to, like, get advertisers on our own now and like trying to pitch to Joy Reid. But now they're stuck with, you know, Nicole Wallace and Rachel Maddow. And Maddow's been doing 5 days a week because of the first 100 days. But once that ends, she's going to go back to 1 day a week. And as a reminder, late last year, she signed a new contract for $25 million a year to work 1 day. What's funny is they laid off a couple hundred people behind the camera. And Maddow was also mad about that, too, that she went public with, along with Joy Reid's firing. Someone pointed out that Dylan Byers at Buck did the math and figured out that about 100 staffers or whatever that were laid off behind the camera equate to about $25 million. Which is kind of funny. Oh, my gosh. Someone look at that. But Nicole Wallace represents everything that is wrong with the left.
Well, and, you know, and it's
an intolerable white woman.
It's just as bad over at CNN. I mean, I was shocked. Well, I actually wasn't shocked when Caitlin Collins was named CNN's White House correspondent. I'm only waiting for the day that Trump bars her from the building because she's toxic. She barely contains her hatred of him. Yeah, I think it's only going to be a matter of time before she pisses him off and he just kicks her out.
Here's the problem with Caitlin Collins. I have a huge level of disrespect. Like, I do not respect her in some ways because she, like Oliver Darcy, and there's a few people like them out there in the news media that worked in conservative media. They cut their teeth in their conservative media. People gave them a chance to make in Washington. And what have they done? They've turned around and not just bitten off the hand that feed them. They cut it off completely.
Right.
They bit it off like they were Mike Tyson biting, you know, an ear off.
Vander Holyfield's ear, yes.
They're just taking their ear off. Like, they're so ungrateful. You know, Caitlin Collins was a nobody writing, you know, I love our friends over the collar, but she was writing side boob slideshows. And now she's, like, making $3 million a year, you know, trying to, like, replicate Breonna Keeler's, like, RBF face. Like, you know, when Republicans say stuff. It's just so pathetic. I mean, she was there during the first Trump administration, but like, it's ridiculous to suggest that somebody like her is worth $3 million a year. And these cable news salaries are just ridiculous. And yet, you know, what was the liberal media mad about last week, John, with salaries? Scott Jennings.
Right.
Oliver Darcy was mad that Scott Jennings was getting a boost, even though my video tweets and other people who are video clippers, when we tweet out Scott Jennings, they get more views than actual Nielsen viewers of CNN. So, like,
yes,
they should be thanking Scott Jennings for keeping a lot of them afloat.
Oh, I love your stuff on Scott Jennings, by the way, because because he says he's actually one of the few sane voices on that network, and he actually says things that make sense. But, yeah, that's half the stuff that when you tweet it out, I'm like, oh, yes, thank you, Curtis, because I don't watch CNN. It's the only time I actually hear things that make sense from that network.
Right, because otherwise, like, why would people tune in? And he tweets his appearances out beforehand, like, saying which shows he's going to be on. So there's probably some people that tune in to CNN just to watch Scott go 4-on-1, 5-on-1 against a bunch of intolerable libs. And he calmly demolishes them, and he doesn't give an inch. He's not like Alyssa Farah Griffin, you know?
No, he, like, does stand his own, I love.
He holds his own, which is just so refreshing, and it's terrific, and he's, like, he's not just owning the libs, he's educating. That's what when I talk to Scott, I always tell him, you're educating people.
Yeah. Yes, we're talking with Curtis Houck from Newsbusters. Curtis, I want to ask you about the how do we want to phrase this? The dress down of President Zelensky in the Oval Office, and whether or not he, you're a news guy, whether or not he called Vice President Vance a bitch. I mean, sure, if you listen to the clip, it sure sounds like he did, but overall, You've been covering news for a long time. I think I've been in the legislature. I've been in some of these high level meetings with governors. A lot of people don't understand that when executive level meetings happen, that's the way it looks like. The sausage making, that's what it looks like. The difference is you just got a glimpse into what it looks like behind the scenes, probably all the time. This was just the first time it was done in front of a camera.
Correct. And I mean, there's a story out from the New York Times this past weekend talking about Sean Duffy and Marco Rubio confronting Musk, and it sounded very contentious. And it sounds pretty legitimate to me because you're right. That's how a lot of these private meetings are. And folks, you just think, you know, in your jobs, you know, if you work in any office setting and you have contentious meetings, don't think it's just you, you know, that this right. doesn't go to elected politics. It does. That those kind of knock down, drag them out kind of moments. It just happened to be in front of the, you know, in front of the world. Whereas, you know, I'm totally with Mark Thiessen. I mean, Mark Thiessen is like one of those like old school Bushy Republicans, you know, pro-interventionist types who has literally the Ukraine flag in his username on X. And he was like, dude, guys, Zelensky blew it, man. And I think that is so true. It's just really unfortunate that we put ourselves in this situation. But this is what happens when you get a guy who's ground down by years of war, who is not super instinctual. I mean, Donald Trump, while he and Zelensky are alike in that they both weren't politicians when they were elected, and that was part of their appeal, Trump has the instincts a little bit there to kind of figure out when to hold his punches at times and how to speak diplomatically. Because if you watch the first 40 minutes, he's very, like, Trump is very appreciative, lavishing praise on Zelensky, trying to kind of move this thing along, but Zelensky keeps undercutting him, and it just sounds so bizarre. So I think the rest of the media are just stunned in one of those moments. I mean, yes, there was outrage and all the Moscow and Putin, all those things, but I feel like it took a few minutes for people to gather themselves because they hadn't seen anything like that in real time. It's only the kind of thing that somebody picks up the phone and tells Maggie Haberman about a few hours later, except we actually saw it in real time. I mean, it's just so inconsequential moment that we're going to remember for a long time. Even if this war ends very favorably for Ukraine,
right,
we're going to look back on it and say, wow, man, like, they're going to teach this to like future politicians in countries around the world. Like, do not do that.
I completely agree. No, I think you're absolutely right. Curtis, As always, brother, I absolutely love having you on. We need to have you on more often. You're the managing editor at Newsbusters. If folks are interested, if they want to connect with Newsbusters, yeah, it's newsbusters.org. And on X, you are at Curtis Houck, H-O-U-C-K, correct?
Yes. Follow John R. Whitmer. And lastly, defundpbsnpr.org. Sign the petition. Follow yes. us on X, defundpbsnpr, because we're actually going to do it this time.
Yeah, you know, that's another good one. I mean, I know everybody's going to say, oh, my God, you're going to put Ernie and Bert out of business. But look, they can find underwriting and get their shows sponsored like everybody else does.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
it is. Brother, I appreciate you. Good to talk to you as always, my friend. We'll have you on again soon.
Always talk again soon, my friend. Carry on.
Thank you, my friend. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear from you. I love Curtis. He is just a rock star. My wife loves him. So much fun, and 100,000 followers. You know, someday I'll get there. I'll get there, just like Curtis. We'll see. We hope, you know. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Had a great rally here on Saturday with Congressman Ron Estes. Despite the wackadoodles and their signs, They've got a mission to empower every American to achieve their unique version of the American dream. If you want to help, you want to get involved, visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And as Curtis said, follow me on Twitter, at John R. Whitmer. And don't forget, this was a question actually came up. Andy Hoosier and I spoke at Pachyderm on Friday. They asked about helping to keep AM radio in cars. If you want to help keep AM radio in cars, text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. So don't forget, coming up here in 2 weeks, we'll be back in Topeka broadcasting live from Topeka. Thanks to my friends at Eck Insurance. So we've got lots of good stuff coming. Also, I know we've got a call. I want to get to my caller, but before I do, don't forget to check the John Whitmer Show Facebook page about the Satanist group that's holding a rally at the Capitol in Topeka on March 28th. There's a way to sign the petition. Group of Catholic students that have got a petition to call on the governor to cancel the Black Mass. They got 22,000 signatures. Go on the John Whitmer Show Facebook page, sign the petition, and call the governor's office. Tell him you don't want a Satanist Black Mass at your state capitol. Nick, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Thank you for waiting.
Good evening, John.
How are you, brother?
I think I'm wonderful, wonderful. I wasn't expecting that that part of the deal, but let me tell you, one thing that eliminates shadow and darkness is light. And so whether it's your previous guest that you had, the January 6th guy, I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, or Roger Marshall, who was attacked basically with hostile people, or this trying to get the Black Mass thing going on. Well, we need to pray against all these things and pray for the people to come to know Jesus, as it were, and get a better outlook and a better worldview on life, because it seems like Democrats anymore, but just progressive people are running out of ammunition to use, and they're just being hostile and basically insane. And so need to, I guess, pray for all of them involved, as it were. But
yeah, you're right. And I'm glad you said Democrat, because it's not a political thing. This isn't a party thing. This kind of stuff, Satanist, I mean, seriously, that's just pure evil. And we're not talking about your political ideology. You could disagree. I mean, heck, look at you and I. We disagree on a couple of ideological issues, marijuana legalization. But neither of us are going to want Satan to have his will manifest. And you see what I mean? It's such a fundamental difference. And it goes back to what I said in the monologue, where you've got just, look, we could disagree on whether I like green eggs and ham or whatever, but I just don't understand why people, you got to find some common ground on something. And I don't know, Nick. I mean, where do we go? What you know what I mean?
Life, family, and liberty under God. Constitutional conservatism, yep, all the way, man.
Yep.
God bless you, brother. Have a good one.
I appreciate you, my friend. What he said. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Wow. Yeah. Good show, by the way. Thank you for my callers. Thank you for the guests. We got a great show planned for you next week. In the meantime, carry on, fellow deplorables.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.